This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good Saturday morning to you all right here on The Fan. Little late getting in, but that's okay. We got everything straightened out. This is 2020. The technology sometimes fails us, but Sean and I are kind of smart. Well, Sean's really smart. I'm sort of smart. And we figured it out together. We said, hey, does this work? Hey, Sean, can you hear me? I can hear you. Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. I can hear the radio station, which means we don't have to listen to whoever that was talking about boring NBA basketball. No, I'm only teasing. I'm just having fun. Good morning, everyone. Nice to have you with us until noon right here on The Fan. It is the old rooster out of the cage again for a 3 hour walk in the park, as they might say. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday early fall morning because what? It's not even fall yet, right? What does that happen in 2 days officially? Is that right? I believe summer ends. I believe it's September 21st. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All these days just kind of roam together and they just kind of meld together. When you cover the Washington football team, you don't have any chance at having any sort of life whatsoever. Again, people complain about days off. Well, we don't get any days off. We get hours off. We don't get any days off. And all the days just kind of, again, meld together and just kind of feel the same. You know, and you look up and you say, oh, that's right, I got to do a radio show. Oh, yeah, that's right, it's a Saturday. Oh, yeah, when everybody else has off, we got to go to work. We got to do some work. So Sean and I are doing some work. We'll lead you up until Nats Insider at noon right here on The Fan. We'll have a couple of people, I think, stop on by. We're trying to tighten everything up in terms of time and all that stuff. Big, 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 big football game on tap for tomorrow afternoon, 4:05 in the desert. The Washington football team visiting the old Arizona Cardinals, and they are anything but old. They are really exciting, interesting, off a big upset win on Sunday in Santa Clara, not San. I always want to say San Francisco, but I know it's not San Francisco, obviously. It's about 45, 50 minutes south of San Francisco. I think it's south, with no traffic. Been up there once to that stadium in the inaugural year, and, you know, we went up to San Francisco for the day on Saturday because we flew in on Friday night. And that's what I remember it taking, you know, about an hour roughly, from the San Jose, Santa Clara area. So the Cardinals with a big upset win last Sunday. Everybody calls the Washington win over Philadelphia an upset win. And of course it is based on the line, based on the fact that the Washington football team, which was then the Redskins, were 3-13 last year. The Philadelphia Eagles were the division champions. So I can't say anybody that thought it was a upset is crazy. That would be wrong of me. I just don't view it in the same context, quite honestly. And maybe this is naive of me. Maybe it's because I'm too stuck in my own world and my own little prism, like I viewed the Arizona Cardinals win in San Francisco against a team that was 9 minutes away from winning a Super Bowl as an upset. Not a huge upset because I know Arizona played them tough last year, and any divisional game can go any way. But I viewed that as an upset. Again, there's a difference. It doesn't have to be necessarily a huge upset, but it was, in my opinion, an upset. Whereas I think a lot of people viewed the Washington football team's win over the Philadelphia Eagles as a major upset. And listen, again, by the line spread, sure, yes. By the fact that one was a 3-3 team and one was a division winner, yes. One was at home, the winning team. One was down 17-0, the winning team. And, you know, nothing looked great for Washington a quarter and a half of the way through that game. I got it. I understand. It was an unexpected outcome once they started playing. But we told you last week in this, no, wait, was it this time slot? I can't remember what show we did last. I think it was in this time slot, I believe. Don't quote me if I'm wrong. And I know I said it in a couple of different hits on the radio station. I know I said it with my buddy Scott Abraham on ABC7. I know I wrote about it on SI.com. I love the Washington football team last week, plus the six and a half, depending on where you got it, 5.5. And I like them to win outright. And that was before I knew that Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson were not going to play. And I still like them. Now, maybe I would have looked like a dummy if Miles Sanders would have played, if Lane Johnson would have played. And it would have just been another wrong pick for the Rooster, which you guys remind me not so kindly sometimes that I'm 100% wrong 100% of the time. I never get anything right. But thankfully for Ron Rivera and the boys, they made the Rooster look good. Now, nobody's going to give me credit for that, so I'm going to have to give the old Rooster a pat on the back. Who was that? I always screw this up. Not Steve Lombardi, but the Brooklyn Brawler. I think he was the Brooklyn. Sean, do you know who was the wrestler that used to pat himself on the back? I screw this up every single time. He used to just give himself like a tap on the back of his neck or the back of his shoulder. It's kind of old school, and I always say it's Steve Lombardi or not Steve Lombardozzi, who used to play for the Nationals. The Brooklyn Brawler, I think, was Steve Lombardi. If anybody knows, I screw this up all the time. Either way, the old Rooster's giving himself a pat on the back because I was one of the only ones, certainly in the media, that thought not only would Washington cover, but that thought Washington would win. And I made that prediction 5 days before the game started. And that was, again, clearly before I knew Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson were not going to play. I knew they were banged up. I did not know that they were not going to play. So I stood with my pick, and I was looking terrible at 17-0. And then the boys showed some resiliency. And here they are week two in what was just kind of like okay, it's a week two game between two conference opponents. No rivalry here. I mean, I guess there used to be a rivalry, you know, when the Cardinals were in the NFC East. I mean, there's really nothing there. They opened up the season against each other 2 years ago. They played in late 2017 in the Kirk Cousins era at FedEx Field, and it was an ugly game, and Washington won, but barely. I mean, there's no juice here, right? All of a sudden, we wake up on a Saturday morning, September the 19th, 2020, the year of our Lord. This is a big freaking football game, right? Both 1-0 teams, both off of quote-unquote upset wins. Both teams heading in the right direction. I would say Arizona heading in the right direction a little bit quicker than maybe Washington. But I don't know if Washington is that far behind. I mean, I guess ultimately that will be determined by Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray. But clearly, I think Arizona's a little bit ahead. And they should be. They're in year two of the Cliff Kingsbury era. Yes, Dwayne Haskins is in year two, but it's only year one of Ron Rivera. And there has been more drama, more soap opera, more chaos, more dysfunction, more just dirty laundry than anybody could possibly ever know what to do with. So here's the bottom line. This, which looked like a kind of seemingly innocuous week two game, like, we're going to put it at 4:05, you know, we're going to have, one or two other big games that Fox will carry or whatever it is. No big deal. Now it turns out to be kind of a sexy matchup. Not because it's quarterback versus quarterback. I suppose some people try and make it that. I don't think this is about Dwayne Haskins versus Kyler Murray as much as Washington fans would like to hope that Dwayne Haskins can answer the bell and go toe-to-toe with Kyler Murray. I think this game is Kyler Murray versus the Washington pass rush, right? And can they control him? Can they contain him? Can they hurt him? Can they keep him in the pocket? Can they slow him down? Can they do whatever? Can they not get embarrassed? I don't think they'll get embarrassed. So I think that's the prism that we look at this game. How fired up are you for this week two late Sunday afternoon affair? Is it just kind of a ho-hum game, or is this one of the games that, you know, it's been a while since you really kind of looked forward, had some anticipation, really had some hopes, some high. Think about where Washington can be on the media landscape if they find a way to win this game against Kyler Murray, and they will be the talk of the NFL. Rightly or wrongly, they will be the talk of the NFL on Sunday night into Monday morning and Monday if the Washington football team can pull off this upset. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That is the AAA Always On Call listener line. Please help yourself and call up the old rooster. Don't let the rooster talk to himself. Sean Summers along the way on a Saturday morning. You are locked into the 106.7 The Fan and the Radio.com app. Good to have you with us. Good Saturday morning to you. We welcome you back one and all at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's the toll-free number on the AAA Always On Call listener line as we just get rolling here on a beautiful Saturday morning. Definitely a fall chill in the air. No doubt about it, but it feels good, man. Sun is brightly shining. Shining bright. That's what he wanted to say. Shining bright. Brightly shining. I don't know where I come up with some of the things that I say into this microphone. You know what I was trying to get at. And the Washington football team is 1-0. Real quickly, before we get into the rest of the show, I want to thank Scott Gammon. I hope I'm saying this right. Pradeep Prana. They both were on top of it and they said, Barry Stinkin' Horowitz is the dude, the wrestler, the old school. I keep wanting to call every time I bring this up. I can never get it right. I keep wanting to say it's Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler. And instead, it's Barry Stinkin' Horowitz, who used to pat himself on the shoulder, on the back of the neck area, on your very upper back. And used to do that because nobody would give him credit. Nobody would say, good job, good job. So when I picked the Washington football team the Tuesday before week one actually kicked off, before I knew Miles Sanders and Lane, before I even knew really how significantly injured anybody was, because we didn't even have an injury report. When I picked them because I thought the Washington pass rush would be able to get home against Carson Wentz. I thought that would be the difference. Now, did I think 8 sacks? Of course not. No, there's no chance. But I also didn't know that, again, Lane Johnson would be out of that game, no Miles Sanders. I also didn't know that Philadelphia would stupidly, and I mean stupidly, this is a Jay Gruden-type game plan. Oh, we can't stop the pass rush. We can't protect our quarterback. Let's have our quarterback throw 42 times when we have a 17-0 lead. I like Jay Gruden. you know, Jay was fine to me. I got along with Jay. He would bust my chops. I would bust his. You know, the whole Club Jay thing, he would get after me. He would text me and say, oh, you know, Chris, you're crazy with some of the crap that I would say. You know, one time he got a little salty at me because I said, well, good for him. He's going down to Jacksonville. There's plenty of golf courses down. Next thing I know, a text pops up from Jay Gruden. It's like, Chris, I don't golf that much. Oh, Jay, nice to see that you're reading SI.com. I appreciate it. but, yeah, I like Jay. But Jay had a way of going about things. Jay was stubborn. Jay wanted to do things whether they worked or they didn't work, whether the personnel fit or the personnel did not fit, whether the game plan and the game situation fit or did not fit. And Jay was stubborn in that regard. And it's part of what makes him a really smart guy, right? Usually the smartest guys are the most stubborn guys. They're the most headstrong guys. They're the most fixated guys. They're the most single lane highway approach type of guys. Well, I work a little bit differently, and everybody's a little bit different, and it's okay. It's part of what makes this country, when it's not being dumb and stupid, which is often, probably about 88% of the time, it's what makes this country great, is that everybody can have a different philosophy. Everybody can have a different belief system, right? So for Doug Peterson last week, against that pass rush, in that game situation, to throw the, even though he did not have Miles Sanders, even though Boston Scott got banged up in that game, and who knew there was a Boston Scott anywhere? I didn't, for sure, until like the day before the game. With, you know, Corey Clement, with Josh Huntley, I think that was his first name. I know last name is Huntley. Whatever his first name is. You know, listen, I know you don't have a bell cow. I know you don't have the running back that you were hoping to have. You probably should have brought somebody else along with you instead of just three nondescript guys if you didn't buy into them. But here's what I know. You cannot have a 17-0 lead, even though they hit a couple of big pass plays on the first drive to the tight ends, to Deshaun for 19. The first play of the game was like a 20-yard gain to, I think it was Goddard, maybe it was Ertz, I can't remember. Ertz obviously had the 5-yard touchdown, but there were a couple of big plays to Goddard and Ertz. Guys running wide open. Deshaun had like a 19-yard gain on that drive. Washington gave him a free first down on a 3rd and 5, and Chase Young jumped into the neutral zone. They had the big hit to Jalen Reagor for 55-plus against Ronald Darby. They had the 34-yard touchdown, 34-yard touchdown pass to Goddard over Kevin Pierre-Lewis on a little swing route. I understand that their best offense was throwing the football over running the football last Sunday. Here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is, against that pass rush with a 17-0 lead, throwing the ball 42 times. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Right? But that's something kind of Jay Gruden would do. Damn, you know, success be damned, because we had a glimpse of success here and there, and because that's what we want to do, that's what we're going to do. Well, that doesn't work against a smart coaching staff. Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio figured it out. Just like this week, right? If you're Cliff Kingsbury, you do not want Kyler Murray, as fast and as athletic as he is, you do not want him dropping back 45 times against this pass rush. Now, listen, sometimes you're going to call a pass play and he's going to scramble and run around and make magic happen, and you're going to pull your hair out and it's going to look like a called run in the box score when you tally up all the statistics, but in reality it was called a pass play, right? So I understand you can't always just go based on statistics. I got it. I understand that. But if you look at the Eagles, right? Not only did Carson Wentz throw the ball 42 times, but again, he was sacked 8 times. That means 50 dropbacks. If Cliff Kingsbury is that dumb to drop back Kyler Murray 45, 50 times on Sunday, that's a good thing for the Washington football team. That is a great thing for the Washington football team because that means they're either A, way ahead and eating, or you're playing right into this game plan. Now, if you drop back 25 times, right, or if he throws 25 times and six or seven times he scrambles and gains, I don't know, 8, 9 yards a pop, 10 yards a pop, whatever it might be, then that's not what you want, right? Ideally, they want Kyler Murray, ideally, to throw more, to drop back more, I would think. Now, there's a danger in that he can come back and he can make some magic still happen that way. He's a good enough thrower. He's a very, very, very strong-armed, small, mobile, athletic quarterback. He's much more accurate than, say, Michael Vick was ever in Michael Vick's prime. Michael Vick was a terrible quarterback. He was not a good quarterback. He had a rifle for an arm. He had no idea how to play the position. Kyler Murray knows how to play the position. Kyler Murray knows how to use his legs to make plays. Kyler Murray knows how to operate in the pocket and to dance and dart. He doesn't know everything yet. He's still developing, but he knows a lot more than Michael Vick ever knew about the position. So again, there's an inherent danger in saying, oh, well, we're just going to let Kyler Murray throw the pill 45 times a game. Yeah, I get that. I understand. He can break you down and make some big-time plays to DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk. They're missing their starting tight end, Max Williams. I get all that. Kenyon Drake out of the backfield. I get all of that. But again, you with this pass rush, you do not want balance. You don't want a quarterback that only has to drop back 25 times because that means they're running the ball effectively. That means they're moving the football at their pace and they're protecting their quarterback and they're doing whatever they want to do and they're wearing your ass out. What you want them to do is have to do exactly what Philadelphia fell into the trap of, which was so stupid, which was so dumb, which was pre-sort of determined by the fact that they didn't have any healthy running backs that were good. And again, Boston Scott got hurt during the, so I understand some of the reason. I still don't understand 50 times, but I get some of the reason. You do not want that if you're Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals. You do want that, in my opinion, if you're Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, and the Washington football team. All right, we'll get to your calls next. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Hang in there. We're coming right at you here on a Saturday morning on The Fan. All right, back with you here on The Fan. Good to have you with us. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So it's Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, and not just Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Not just Kyler Murray for the Arizona Cardinals. It's a lot more than that on both sides of the football. But that's the star of the show, right? That's the person with most, the most intrigue. So that's where our focus will be. But there's so many other parts of this football game on Sunday that I'm excited about. I'm really interested to see, can this offensive line somehow find a way to at least control Chandler Jones? Control might be a strong word. Contain? Limit, that's probably better. And that means no matter what side of the field he lines up on, because he'll line up on both, it's when he goes against Morgan Moses, too. Anybody that thinks Morgan Moses is going to handle Chandler Jones one-on-one is crazy. Not happening. But what you have to do is limit Chandler Jones from being in Dwayne Haskins' face every other throw. That's what you need to do. And to me, the only way Washington goes about this is a heavy running back screen game and a lot of three-step drops and get the ball out of Dwayne Haskins' hands. Period. Period. Get it out. Like, quickly. That's the only way I think you can go about this. From an offensive perspective, right? I mean, of course, if you run the ball well and if you do all those little things well, you're going to have a chance. But if you run the ball maybe, you know, not as effectively as like kind of last week, right? If you think about it, they didn't run the ball effectively last week. They ran it, what, 34 times for 36 times for 80 yards. And one of those was a 20-yard game by Antonio Gibson, which, by the way, should have been a house call. So, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, right, it should have been a 75-yard touchdown. He screwed up, and he admitted that when I asked him about that this week, and so did Randy Jordan, the running backs coach. He admitted that, you know, Antonio should have done something differently. Not a big deal. It's just, you know, it's a rookie learning, but it is what it is. The point of the matter is maybe the numbers would skew differently if he takes it all the way to the house, 75 yards, obviously, 55 extra yards, more than the 20 that he got. But the fact is that he didn't. So when you look at 36 times, and I understand some of that was trying to grind out the clock, 36 times for 80 net yards, and you take away, say, that 20 yards, and one of those carries, that's 35 for 60. That's not a very good average. You have to run the ball better than that. And if you're not running the ball better than that, what you have to do is you have to get J.D. McKissic more touches, certainly more targets than five, and more receptions than one for 1 yard, which made, I'm sure, J.P. Flame very happy because he was chiding me about my belief in J.D. McKissic last Sunday and over the summer. And I still believe heavily in J.D. McKissic. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense, and he might very well be, and he should be probably next week or tomorrow, because how do you beat a good pass rush? How do you beat a dominant pass rusher? Well, the only chance you have is three-step drops. The only chance you have is quick one-step pivot, boom, get it out, and the natural running back screen game. Making sure that somebody can't just tee off on your quarterback. That's the way you go about it. All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll get to Joel in California shortly. First, Josh in Alexandria is on line one. Good morning, Josh. You're on the Fan. How are you? What's up, Josh?
But I guess tomorrow's a good test because they got a running game. They got a great quarterback. They got a receiver. But last week I seen the Redskins do something they've never done before, and I was going for a second year with their defense. That's pretty good, but I'm just concerned about the, you know, linebacking core. Who's going to be able to, if they put a spy on Kyler Murray, who's going to be able to run with him? Some Polkins is going to be out.
Yeah, it's a good question. I talked a little bit about this the other night, and of course Jack Del Rio has not given away any game plans, Josh. But my sense is they're not going to have a true spy like every down or anything like that. They're going to have a guy like a Kevin Pierre-Louis, who's kind of a roving type guy. He's the only linebacker that's got the speed to keep up sort of with Kyler Murray. And obviously he's not as fast as Kyler Murray, but he's pretty freaking fast. But you have guys on the back end like Troy Apke, who again can close a lot of space. I think they're going to play a lot of zone. I think they're going to play a lot more zone than man. I think they would be, you know, they have to play zone better than they did certainly on the first drive of the game. So they have to play a tighter zone. But to me, they can't play man-to-man and turn their back on Kyler Murray, or he's going to kill them time to time. Now, you want to play man-to-man sometimes? Okay, fine. I got it. Maybe on first and 15, you play a little man, whatever. But I would expect them to be more in zone. I would expect them to be more in certainly nickel a lot. But maybe even dime, because dime would give you, instead of four cornerbacks, two safeties, which is the traditional dime alignment, maybe you get the three safeties like you did last week with Apke, Collins, and Cameron Curl on the field. And we know he's got athleticism, and we know he's played really, 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 really well for this team throughout camp and even last week in his NFL debut. They love him, Cameron Curl, the seventh round pick out of Arkansas. So to me, you probably see more dime and Kevin Pierre-Louis and John Bostic as your two linebackers. So that's your eight. And then maybe, you know, again, you'll have to sub out a defensive end or a defensive lineman, I should say, you know, when you go to that dime alignment, again, you only have so many different choices, but I would assume you're going to see a lot of dime and a lot of Kevin Pierre-Louis trying to control Kyler, and a lot of zone trying to control Kyler Murray. That's what I would assume.
I got one more question. I was wondering if you could touch on wide receiver help? I mean, all the pressure's on McLaurin. You know what I mean? Are we doing anything to bring in another wide receiver or a tight end possibly?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they signed a couple of kids in both of those positions. Hemingway is one that was with Carolina, tight end, he was a former sixth round pick, with the Rams, I should say, 3 years ago. And he was with Ron and Carolina and Scott Turner. So they signed him to the practice squad. They signed a real speedy kid. I forgot his name right off the top of my head. Bidette, I believe is his last name. Jeff Bidette, who's like got, 4.3 speed. I don't know how good of a receiver he is, but they signed a couple of guys to their practice squad. I know there was a lot of rumors about Odell Beckham this week. I know there was rumors about Allen Robinson. It looks like Allen Robinson, is talking again to the Bears after scrubbing his social media and whatever. We'll just have to see how that kind of develops. If he doesn't sign an extension, I would assume he's going to be a big time target at the trade deadline, of a lot of teams, and Washington probably would be one of them but you can't trade for Allen Robinson and not sign him to a contract extension at the deadline. Otherwise, you just should wait until he gets to free agency and take your chances there, Josh. So we'll see about that. But those are two of the bigger names. I don't want anything to do with Odell Beckham. I never have. I've said this from word one after his rookie year in New York. He is a lunatic. He is a locker room destroyer. He can say whatever he wants. His defenders and apologists can say whatever he wants. I want nothing at all, period, to do with that guy. And I would be very, 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 very disappointed if Washington thought, oh, no, we're the team, we're the organization that can control this guy and kickstart this guy and develop all that talent, because he is a lunatic. And I'm sorry if that comes across harshly. I don't mean it in any kind of, negative sort of way, other than the sheer reality is everyone that will tell you that has been around him is, they'll tell you on public record that he's a good teammate. And they'll also tell you behind the scenes that he was a locker room destroyer and a franchise destroyer. And that's why the Giants got rid of him 1 year into a mega $100 million deal. Appreciate the phone call, Josh. Good to hear from you. 800-636-1067. We'll take a quick time out. We'll get to Joel in California next. When we come back, don't worry, short breaks on a Saturday morning. We're here with you until noon right here on The Fan. All right, good to have you with us right here on The Fan on a Saturday morning. Yeah. By the way, Cole Holcomb, in case you missed the news, out. Kendall Fuller was downgraded in practice. Not downgraded in terms of designation, because we didn't have a designation until yesterday, but he was full go Wednesday, full go Thursday, limited Friday. My understanding is he made the trip. That's my understanding. I don't have 100% proof of that, but I believe he made the trip. Usually what would also happen in a scenario like that is if he didn't make the trip, which they flew out last night, then they would announce that. Not always, but usually that's what happened. But my understanding is he made the trip. So we'll see if he plays on Sunday or if he needs another week for Cleveland next week. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm going to give you a number in just a couple of minutes that is going to make you feel real nervous about tomorrow and Chandler Jones. I'm going to give you a number that's going to make you probably frightened for Dwayne Haskins. But first, we'll get to Joel in California, who's been kindly hanging on for a little while here, and we welcome him to The Fan. Joel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rooster. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for listening and for calling. It's early by you. I mean, I was up early this morning. Jeez, it's not even 7 o'clock.
California, Maryland.
Oh, California, Maryland.
Yeah, Southern Maryland.
It just says Joel from California. I was like, wow, it's pretty early. Okay, all right. Well, some people get up early. I mean,
big fan base for the Rooster.
Exactly. I appreciate it. Either way, I'm popular in California, Maryland, or in Los Angeles, California, where I've spent 10 hours of my pathetic, miserable life in.
There you go. Yeah, I'm actually from PA. I'm from Bethlehem. So.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, so first I want to preface this by saying, being that I'm from PA, I'm a big Eagles fan. So that first segment you had, it was like, man, this guy's kind of talking crazy. But the second segment, you touched on all the points that I was going to touch on. You can't throw the ball that many times and expect to win in the NFL, period. Right. And I don't care who you are. But I think also how to play into that was probably the ego of Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. Yeah, we were out Lane Johnson, Miles Sanders, Alshon Jeffrey, and then two starters on the defensive line. But you can't expect to win just by throwing the ball against that defensive line. But also, I just so the Redskins have a big test this weekend in Kyler Murray's, and mm-hmm. they just play a great defensive line in San Francisco, you know, Bosa and company. But what they did a lot was they did throw a lot of screens. Philly didn't really do that. And this week they're going against Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, and probably the best receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. They're not going against DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, who are pretty much the same players, and then two tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're going against a great head coach now in his second year. And here's my little hot take on this. So we've had sophomore quarterbacks win back-to-back MVPs, and it also could have been 3 years in a row if Carson Wentz didn't get hurt in week 10 or 11, whatever that was, against the Rams. So it could have been three straight years of sophomore QBs winning mm-hmm. the MVP. So mm-hmm. I think Kyler Murray is actually going to win the MVP this year. Mm. Not only do I think the Cards cover the 7, I think they beat the Skins by 14 to 20 points. And I say that because I think Cliff Kingsbury is a lot smarter and not as egotistical as Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz were this past weekend, and they'll be able to get the ball out. Pretty much the same game plan that they had against San Fran. You throw those quick out screens to Nuke, or you get Larry Fitzgerald over the middle on short crossing routes, and those linebackers for Washington, they're not as experienced as, say, Quan Alexander and those guys at San Fran. So I don't know, I think it's too much for Washington. And also, they're not going to be able to, like you touched base on the Washington run game. Yeah, they didn't have big rushing yards, but that's also because they didn't really have the ball deep in their territory that often, because
right.
Carson was fumbling, Carson was throwing picks, so they weren't really to put together those drives besides what the second quarter drive to score a touchdown before
mm-hmm.
halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in short field positions. You're not really going to get big runs off that. But yeah, I don't see Washington playing nearly as well as they did this past Sunday.
Yeah, and listen, they were far from good, obviously, as we know, in the entire first half. You just mentioned it. The only offensive drive where they showed any kind of pulse was because of a Fabian Moreau interception, which set them up on the plus side of the field. So if you play like dog doo-doo like you did for almost 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you're probably going to be down 10, 13 points, somewhere in that range, you know, like they were. They were down 10 ultimately at the half, but 17 for, you know, a good part of the or I shouldn't say a good part of the first half, but 17 for a part of the first half. But you're probably going to be down double digits if you play anything close to the way they played in the first half. And that's what really has me worried from a Washington perspective is, you know, like, okay, you know, you got away with it against Philadelphia because, again, you were able to get home and you were able to get a couple of turnovers and you were able to generate a couple of offensive opportunities off of your defense. But what happens if you can't get home 8 times and force 2 turnovers? What happens when you can't do that? Because I don't think it's an if, I think it's a when you can't do that. So that's, you know, to kind of to what you're talking about, that's kind of the play here. Now, about the Eagles, and I realize that when I say, well, you know, stupid, why would you be dropping back 50 times? My thing is, look, I get that Miles Sanders obviously didn't play, and I get that Boston Scott got hurt during the game. I got it all. But and clearly Deshaun and Reagor and Hightower and the two tight ends, Ertz and Goddard, are where you want to target. I got it. I guess just my thing is when you're up 17 to nothing late first half And then you look in the final box score and I see you drop back 50 times. To me, something about that just doesn't make sense. And you say it's arrogance. Maybe it is arrogance. I don't know. Maybe Kingsbury is not that arrogant, and maybe he realizes, hey, you know what? I got to go about it a different way. One thing I will say about Kingsbury, I talked to somebody down there in Arizona earlier this week. They're building a pretty damn good all-around football team. A lot of young head coaches only care about the side of the ball that they're an expert in, that they want to build out, and they don't care about the rest. They're building a smart, well-rounded, all-around football team there. So that's, you know, kind of interesting. I appreciate the phone call, man. Good luck to your Eagles this Sunday against Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams, as both of those teams, the Rams won last week against the Cowboys. The Eagles look for their first win of the year. All right, hour number two coming straight up. I've got to go get my computer charger here because my computer took a on me during that segment. So we will come on back and make the turn for 10 o'clock and then some right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.